This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Welcome to the Journal of Neurosurgery podcast for February 10, 2012. I'm Natalie Pincham. Topics covered in this podcast are vascular disorders, diagnostic and operative techniques, and traumatic brain injury. Spontaneous resolution of a Chiari malformation type 1 and syrinx after supratentorial craniotomy for excision of a cavernous malformation. A case report by William Mealy and colleagues. Chiari malformation type 1 is a frequently encountered problem for neurosurgeons. Hallmarks of this pathology are herniation of the cerebellar tonsils through the foramen magnum and a 35 to 75% association with syringomyelia. Patients with significant symptoms, large syrinx cavities, or significant compression of the brainstem by ectopic tissue, undergo foramen magnum decompression. Minimally symptomatic patients are often treated non-surgically. The pathophysiology of this condition is incompletely understood and probably involves a dynamic physiological state that contributes to the maintenance of tonsillar herniation and syrinx states. The authors describe a patient who underwent follow-up for a minimally symptomatic Chiari malformation type 1 and a cervicothoracic syrinx, and who underwent a right frontoparietal craniotomy for evacuation of a right frontoparietal intraparenchymal hematoma. Upon histopathological examination of the hematoma, a small cerebral cavernous malformation was found. Serial imaging studies were obtained to follow the progression of this acute state and for continued follow-up of the Chiari malformation and syrinx. These imaging studies demonstrated spontaneous resolution of the syrinx cavity and elevation of the cerebellar tonsils to a normal position over the ensuing 10 months. Few similar cases have been described. A review of the literature provides multiple theories on the mechanisms influencing syrinx formation, maintenance, and resorption. But clear mechanisms for spontaneous resolution of Chiari malformations type 1 have not been elucidated. Improvement of neurological recovery and stimulation of neural progenitor cell proliferation by intrathecal administration of sonic hedgehog. A laboratory investigation by Nicholas Bambakidis and co-authors. Endogenous populations of pluripotent stem cells lie dormant in discrete regions of the adult central nervous system. They can be induced to proliferate under various stimuli, including ischemic injury. These cells also proliferate in response to exposure to molecules that are critical during neural development, such as sonic hedgehog. Administering sonic hedgehog directly into the injured central nervous system of adult rodents has shown promise in preserving function and reducing cell death. In this study, the authors examined the effects of exogenous administration of intrathecal sonic hedgehog protein in a rodent model of ischemic stroke. They gave particular attention to endogenous neural stem cell proliferation and migration, as well as inducible differences in behavioral recovery. The results showed significant improvement in behavioral function and a significant reduction of ischemic tissue in the cerebral hemisphere. Although endogenous stem cells are mostly inactive during adult life, evidence suggests that they have the ability to differentiate into adult neurons. Under normal circumstances, these endogenous cells proliferate in response to ischemic injury, but in a primarily gliogenic manner. The neuroprotective effects that the authors observed may be a result of a modification of this gliotic response in a way that maximizes behavioral recovery with important therapeutic implications. Pressure-derived versus pressure wave amplitude-derived indices of cerebrovascular pressure reactivity in relation to early clinical state and 12-month outcome following aneurysmal subarachnoid hemorrhage. A clinical article by Per Christian Eide and co-workers. This study was undertaken to investigate how indices of cerebrovascular pressure reactivity relate to the early clinical state and 12-month outcome in patients with aneurysmal subarachnoid hemorrhage. Indices of cerebrovascular pressure reactivity represent surrogate markers of cerebral autoregulation. The indices in this study were derived either from the Pressure Reactivity Index, or PRX, or from the intracranial pressure arterial blood pressure wave amplitude correlation, or IAAC. The authors conducted a single-center clinical trial enrolling patients with aneurysmal subarachnoid hemorrhage. The PRX and IAAC of week 1 after hemorrhage related to the early clinical state as measured by the Glasgow Coma Scale and the 12-month outcome as measured by the modified Rankine Scale. 94 patients were included in the study. The IAAC, but not the PRX, increased as the Glasgow Coma Scale score decreased. That is, the higher the IAAC, the worse the early clinical state. The PRX could differentiate between survivors and non-survivors only, whereas the IAAC clearly distinguished the groups independent, dependent, and dead. In patients with an average IAAC greater than 0.2, mortality was approximately threefold higher than in those with an IAAC less than 0.2. In conclusion, the IAAC significantly relates to the early clinical state and 12-month outcome following aneurysmal subarachnoid hemorrhage. Neuroprotective and neurorestorative effects of thymosin beta-4 treatment initiated 6 hours after traumatic brain injury in rats. A laboratory investigation by Yi Xiong and colleagues. Thymosin beta-4 is a multifunctional regenerative peptide. This study tests the hypothesis that early thymosin beta-4 treatment improves functional recovery after traumatic brain injury. 2 doses of thymosin beta-4 were tested, 6 mg per kilogram and 30 mg per kilogram. Another group of brain-injured rats received saline treatment as a control. Thymosin beta, or saline, was injected intraperitoneally at 6, 24, and 48 hours after injury. Sensory motor function and spatial learning were assessed in these animals. Animals were euthanized 35 days after injury. Brain sections were processed to assess lesion volume, hippocampal cell loss, cell proliferation, and neurogenesis. The author's data demonstrate that compared to saline treatment, thymosin beta 4 treatment, initiated 6 hours post-injury, significantly improved sensory motor functional recovery and spatial learning, reduced cortical lesion volume and hippocampal cell loss, and enhanced cell proliferation and neurogenesis in the injured hippocampus. The high dose of thymosin beta 4 showed better beneficial effects than the low dose treatment. These data suggest that thymosin beta 4 has promising therapeutic potential in TBI patients. However, further investigation of the optimal dose and therapeutic window of thymosin beta 4 treatment for TBI and the associated underlying mechanisms are warranted. Thank you for listening. JNSPG podcast content is now contained in the newly launched American Association of Neurological Surgeons iTunes U site. Sign up in iTunes for our podcasts and additional content, including video content and podcasts from the AANS, all updated continuously. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at thejns.org. You can also follow the JNS on Twitter.